Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's 11:37. Adam and Jordana here. David at the helm. On Friday, President Joe Biden condemned the extreme Supreme Court majority that ended Roe v. Wade. And then he signed an executive order to try and protect access to abortion. So what does that mean? Can you undo this with an executive order? I have a lot of questions. Jill Hasday, distinguished McKnight University professor and centennial professor in law from the University of Minnesota, is joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline to hopefully get some answers. So, Professor Hasday, welcome to the show, and we're so thrilled to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So talk to us about this executive order. Can the right to access abortions be protected under an executive order? What did it accomplish?
Okay. So the Supreme Court, in the case overturning Roe, interpreted the federal Constitution to essentially place no limits on the ability of lawmakers to restrict or criminalize abortion. Meaning that a state could criminalize abortion, Congress, if it wanted to, could criminalize abortion. President Biden's executive order can't change that interpretation of the Constitution. But in light of overturning Roe, supporters of abortion rights have been urging the president to do what he can to promote abortion access within the world we're now operating in. This executive order is, from the perspective of someone who cares about abortion rights, a small but, you know, a visible first step. It itself doesn't do that much, but it sets up future action. So, for instance, Biden is in charge of the executive branch, which means he controls all the agencies like Department of Health and Human Services or the Justice Department, which enforces federal criminal laws. And this executive order basically gives instructions to these agencies. For instance, it asked the Department of Health and Human Services to send a report to him investigating what, if anything, can they do to protect access to abortion, including access to medication abortion. So all this is saying is do the report. There's a number of things that are in play, if you want me to get into that.
Well, the question I had is that, okay, if the federal departments investigate this, but if a state department is either criminalizing or preventing women from gaining access to this, is the federal government still allowed to supersede in a specific state?
Okay, so let me give you a specific example, which I think will make it crisper. The FDA, which is in charge of approving drugs in the United States, has approved the medication that you need for a medication abortion. That's has approved it for use throughout the United States and has also said you don't have to see a doctor in person to get the prescription. You can do it through telehealth. Wow. A number of states have either banned medication abortion or in the process of banning medical abortion, which presents a potential conflict between federal and state law. One thing that's not controversial is that when there is a conflict between federal and state law, federal law controls. That's because of the Supremacy Clause in the U.S. Constitution, which says that. Mm. Where the fight would be is, well, is there a conflict? The argument that there's a conflict is federal law and the federal agency that Congress has authorized to make decisions on the availability of drugs has said that this drug should be available throughout the United States. And here's a state saying, no, it shouldn't be available in my state. So that's the argument. There's a conflict and federal law controls. Personally, I think that's the more compelling argument. The argument that there's no conflict, which is what critics of abortion would say, is all the FDA decided was that these drugs were safe and effective, But in banning them, we're actually not going to, we're not questioning if they're safe and effective. We're basically just saying they're immoral, and that's a separate question. So there's really not a conflict, and we should be able to ban the medication abortion in our state. The executive order that Biden signed on Friday doesn't get into the weeds of that. It just says Department of Health and Human Services should investigate what, if anything, it could do, but it doesn't, for instance, commit the federal government to say, we're going to litigate, you know, we're going to sue when these states try to ban Medicaid abortion and say this actually violates federal law.
I also read that the order is really to head off some penalties that women seek after, you know, after seeking abortion, that the women may face after seeking an abortion. So let's say in one of these states, somebody did order or that medication through telehealth and they got caught by their state or somebody turned them in. Would this order protect those women from any state penalties?
Okay, so that's a great question. One of the big open questions right now is states that are banning abortion, many of them are already moving not only to ban abortion in their state, but to criminalize getting a medication abortion through the mail, you know, having the pills come to you through the mail and arriving in Texas, right, or even going to another state, having a surgical abortion and returning home. And it's an open question whether they can do that. The federal government, this executive order is, again, taking a few steps in that direction. So, for instance, HIPAA, which is a federal law protecting the privacy of medical records, as you can imagine, anti-abortion states might be interested in accessing women's medical records to see if they've had an abortion. HIPAA ordinarily protects privacy of medical records, but there's actually an exception for a criminal investigation. One thing that this executive order asks the Department of Health and Human Services to think about is, should they give more guidance for HIPAA? And I suspect the guidance, if they were to issue it, would say something like, you know, trying to figure out if someone's had an abortion doesn't count as a criminal investigation. That's not what they had in mind. They were, you know, you committed murder or something, and they want to investigate the gunshots or something. So that's something that's going to be fought out. You know, how does HIPAA, how does this federal privacy law, HIPAA, if at all, constrain the ability of anti-abortion states to snoop in record. Another open question is, so there are cases establishing something called constitutional right to travel, this idea that we're one nation and you should be able to travel, and one state shouldn't, like, trap you. You know, in that state, you should be able to travel freely. So that's going to be, that's going to be litigated. Is it a violation of this constitutional right to travel for you to go to another state, have an abortion that's perfectly legal in that state, and then return home? Is prosecuting you on your return home a violation of this right to travel? And that's going to be worked out. And I would say this executive order is touching on all these issues, but it's not ultimately saying what, if anything, the Biden administration is going to do, how it's going to participate in that litigation. It's just saying we're going to start to think about it and we're going to come up with our approaches.
Jill Hasday is a distinguished McKnight University professor at the University of Minnesota. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jill, is that kind of part of the goal here, too, is that this allows, maybe opens the door for some of these issues to go back to court and maybe injunctions to be put into place to, like, keep things status quo for now?
Well, regardless, all of this is going to be litigated. One of the, I think, least plausible parts of the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe was the suggestion, at least, that, you know, bringing this back to the states will sort of calm things down. But obviously, we've already seen struggles over abortion and abortion rights have gotten even more intense. All of these things will ultimately be litigated, regardless of what the Biden administration does, right? The real question is what, if any, efforts the Biden administration is going to make to protect abortion rights. The Biden administration can't do anything to keep it out of the courts. Eventually, it'll be in the courts.
But I'm also hearing you say that this order that he signed, while it's good in theory and maybe it looks good, it doesn't have a lot of teeth.
I mean, it's better from the perspective of abortion rights. It's certainly better than nothing. But I would say this is wait and see. They're coming up with their report. So let's see in 30 days what the report does. And there's also something I didn't talk about. Some of these things I think they can do right away and there really won't be an issue. So for instance, this is telling the Justice Department to work on beefing up security around abortion clinics so people aren't subject to violence and threats. You know, that's something I think they can get, they can coordinate with state law enforcement in pro-choice states and they can just do. It also sets up various task force to coordinate. So I think this is first steps, but you can't really evaluate. You have to see what happens when they come back with these reports.
Yes.
Another, I'll just say, another open issue is there's this federal law called the Emergency Medical Treatment Act, which says doctors have an obligation to stabilize patients. This is very important because, for instance, say you're in other contexts, like say you're uninsured, like the doctor has to stabilize you. They can't say, well, you're not paying, right? So one open question is, there's been already some reports of women who have ectopic pregnancies, which are not viable, and if you don't get an abortion, you're going to die. Your body is literally going to explode from inside out. There's been some reports of some doctors hesitating to abort because of the state's anti-abortion law. Wow. So there have been arguments that the federal government should make plain that this Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act applies to those situations, someone who is in a life-threatening emergency. And I think it's not that the state abortion law says let the woman die, you know, let the woman die, but I think it creates uncertainty and doctors are just worried about losing their medical licenses.
Yeah.
So if the federal law was really plain, you know, ectopic pregnancy, you can do it immediately. There's nothing, you don't need a committee, right? Because sometimes they'll say, well, let's go to the committee and this bureaucracy and that bureaucracy, and then the person is dead. So that's something that the Biden administration says, we're going to consider updates to this guidance on how this federal law applies, but this executive order is not itself that guidance.
We so appreciate your time and your expertise. Jill Hasday, Centennial Professor in Law, Distinguished McKnight University Professor over at the University of Minnesota. We hope you'll come back because this cleared a lot of things up for us. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.